Join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club in October, and we'll send you a limited edition Here I Stand t-shirt. Find out more about our monthly or annual giving program at issuesetc.org. Just click the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses, or call Craig 618-223-8385. Join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by Reformation Day, and we'll send you a limited edition long sleeve shirt along with your other membership benefits. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
If Donald does win, it'll be awkward at the annual President's Day photo when all the former presidents gather at the White House. How is Barack going to get past the Muslim ban?
You can take the baby and rip the baby out of the womb on the final day, and that's not acceptable.
Those who wish to divorce the church from education started to say, well, this is all very neutral.
When he brings you into that life, he brings you into a place where you'll never need an earthly safe place ever, ever again.
LCMS Navy chaplains appreciate daily food for thought on issues, etc.
Every church on Sunday morning has an order of service. It may appear to be spontaneous. It may be so meticulously planned out and so well executed that it appears to just happen. The music just starts. The praise band just fires up. The pastor just happens to show up. In fact, it often is that meticulously planned and well executed that Sunday morning looks like it just happens, that it's almost entirely spontaneous. But don't let the appearance of spontaneity fool you. It's well scripted, it's perfectly planned, and it happens exactly as it's supposed to. No surprises. And that shouldn't really surprise anyone at all, should it? Now, you might walk in where it seems to be spontaneous, or you might walk into a church where there's no pretense of spontaneity whatsoever. In fact, the script is right there for you to see. They hand it to you when you walk in the door. It's an order of service. It may be brief, it may be detailed, it may be multi-page, but it's all there, and you know exactly what's going to happen, in what order, and if everything goes off as planned, it usually does. There's no pretense. There's no pretending that this is spontaneous. It's just an order of service, but every church has one, whether they share it with you or not. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. Live on this Reformation Day, October the 31st. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be doing part four of our weekly series, Liturgical Boot Camp for Evangelicals. Today, we'll talk about that order of service. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will be our guest. A little bit later, Gary McCaleb will join us from the Alliance Defending Freedom based in Washington, D.C. We're going to talk about the fact that late last week, the Supreme Court agreed to hear a transgender bathroom case. Why? They don't have to hear these cases, but they have agreed to do so. We'll find out in a little bit here on Issues Etc. later on this Monday. Pastor Tom Baker will join us. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson on David and Goliath, the great and famous encounter in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Then we're going to conclude our series. We've been doing this short series with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer on the doctrine of justification. That is how God declares sinners righteous for Christ's sake and Christ's sake alone, by grace through faith for Christ's sake. That doctrine of justification as it is found in the Old Testament. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will be our guest. Now you can join us with questions or comments through the next 2 hours of Issues Etc. Or call in number 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, on the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us for part four of our weekly series, Liturgical Boot Camp for Evangelicals Today, the Order of Service, Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, co-host of a weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio, author of the book, Has American Christianity Failed? Brian, welcome back.
Thank you.
Today is Reformation Day. Someone comes up to you and says, look, you're a Lutheran pastor. This Reformation thing you're talking about today, give it to them in 30 seconds or a little more.
Well, the Reformation is about the simplicity of Christ. And the church had 500 years ago obscured that simplicity
and God appointed a man called Martin Luther to lead a conversation to restore that simplicity so that people could hear not only that they're damned because of their sin, but most especially that they're forgiven because of the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And that word of promise, that word of forgiveness, the Lord Jesus delivers to us in the church. That's what the Reformation is about. It's what the church is about. And it's really what the history of the whole universe is about. Jesus dying for sinners.
That ties nicely into the general theme of our series with you, Liturgical Boot Camp for Evangelicals, because it cannot be said that every Sunday and its service is about the simplicity of Christ in a lot of evangelical churches, can it?
No, it can't. I mean, it's not even about Christ at all. And that's the really bad thing. I mean, we have this, and it's a helpful question to ask, what is worship? I mean, why do we even do worship? What's happening at worship? Why do we go to the church on Sunday and so forth? What is this phenomenon called worship? And it ought to be that the answer to that question has something to do with Jesus. But in most cases, in most evangelical churches, it doesn't, or Jesus has a little part of it, or Jesus is kind of a bonus at the end, or Jesus makes an appearance. It's an indictment that the account, when Jesus writes a letter to the church in Laodicea in Revelation, and he says, look, here's the picture. I'm standing at the door of the church, not the door of your heart. I'm standing at the door of the church, and I'm knocking, and you ought to let me in. This is the picture of Jesus in American Christianity. Hey, guys, I'm standing here. I'm knocking on the door. I probably should have something to do with whatever it is that you guys are doing in there.
So I said at the beginning that every church on Sunday morning has an order of service. They are either, it's all very well planned out and very scripted, with the exception of those who just wing it, which is very, very rare. But the big box evangelical church, they have an order of service. They just don't necessarily tell you what it is. There's a, I call it a pretense of spontaneity, but is there an order there nonetheless?
Yeah, there is. I remember one time, have I told you the story? I was at the Calvary Chapel. I was in high school, and it was some Sunday night, and we went there for the service, and it was interesting because the power went out. I don't know if it was just in the church or like in the whole neighborhood. And so imagine the big box church, and there's just like a couple of windows in the back, but they don't want windows in the church because they want to be able to control the light, control the sound. I mean, everything is amplified, the microphone for the preacher and the band and everything. If you don't have electricity, you can't do what they were going to do. And so we're sitting there and the lights are out. I mean, the lights kind of went out right at the beginning of the service. And everyone freaked out, and someone stands and says, "No, calm down, don't go anywhere. We'll figure out what to do." And they kind of shuffled around on stage for a little bit. And then they came out and they said, "Well, we can't do the music we were planning on doing, and we can't do the sermon that we were planning on doing. You can't hear us, so we're just going to say a prayer and then call it a night." So they started praying. The pastor up there said a prayer, and then it was kind of open for everyone to pray. So someone over there says a prayer. And then someone over here says a prayer, and at the end of the prayer, they said, "Lord, have mercy." And then everyone responded, "Hear our prayer." And someone else did it, "Lord, have mercy, hear our prayer." And pretty soon they were almost following a litany that they must have learned growing up in the church, because never would they have that sort of thing in the church. And just because the power was out and no one was making sure that there wasn't an order, the prayer shaped up into a very orderly litany in that moment. It was incredible. If you took a big box church and unplugged it, you get even more liturgical. And it's an indication to me that this is the case, that there's an orderliness that's going to simply arise out of the fact that you have a bunch of people in a place doing something together. And if you can unplug it, that in fact gets more orderly, and in fact it looks a little bit more liturgical.
So what's the basic difference here? We've talked about it before, but let's run over it again. The difference between what worship is for evangelicals, what worship is in the historic liturgy.
Yeah, so when you ask a normal evangelical, "Hey, what is worship?" They're going to say it's something like, it's the time where I go to church to give God thanks and praise for who He is. So the main actor of worship is me, the worshiper, and the main activity of worship is me thanking God and praising God.
That's your basic kind of evangelical assumption. And the order of service there, by the way, is pushing towards something like that, that we're able to offer ourselves to God, either in our thanks and praise or in our submission to the altar call. You know, that's also an offering of ourselves to God. It's all pushing towards that. Whereas the liturgical worship of the scriptures, see, the main actor in worship is not us, but God. And the main activity is God blessing us, forgiving us, delivering us, giving us promises. And then we respond to his activity, his words, his promises with thanks and praise. So the chief, for the most American evangelicals, worship comes from the bottom up. Whereas the liturgy and the scriptures teach us that worship is chiefly coming from God to us. His giving us the things that we need and our joyful reception of those gifts.
All right. There's a rhythm, you say, that may be, and we're not talking here about the rhythm of the music, which would be the case in the evangelical style worship. There's a rhythm in the liturgy that we need to note as well. What is it?
Yeah, and I think this is really helpful because if the main thing for the evangelical, if the purpose of the order is my submission to God, either by doing good works of the Christian or handing my life over, then everything is going to be geared around that. So you have a kind of a triple focus of the American evangelical liturgy. The first part is the music where I experience intimacy with God. The second part is the teaching where I am instructed in how to serve my neighbor by my good works. And the third part is the altar call where the unbeliever gives their life, the believer recommits their life to God. Those are the main order of the service there is around those three purposes. The liturgy takes a step back and says, what is God giving to us? What does God want to offer? How is God serving us? And it finds the answer is that the Lord is serving us with the forgiveness of sins, with the preaching of the word, and with the feeding us with the body and blood of Jesus. So the liturgical worship of the Church of the New Testament revolves around the hearing of the word, read and preached, and the eating and drinking of Jesus' body and blood. So the order is reflecting the gifts that the Lord is giving.
And what is that basic order? Just, I mean, if it comes down to, you said there's really just a few parts of this thing, although it looks complicated. What's the basic order?
Yeah, so you begin in the Lord's name, you pray the Psalms, you hear the scriptures read, and the preacher preaches, and then you pray, and then you go forward and you eat and drink the body of blood, you receive a blessing, and you go home. I mean, that is really the order. We were reading Justin Martyr, his apology to, it was his letter to the emperor, written in the year 150. And he says, when we get together, this is what we do. And he basically gave the same exact outline of our worship service that we have now. We gather together, we hear from the apostles and the prophets, what the preacher preaches, we pray for the world, we eat the body and blood of Jesus, we receive a blessing, and we go home. I mean, that is basically it. And we sometimes will talk about then the service of the word and the service of the sacrament, that is the hearing of God's word and the eating of his body and blood.
And before we take this break, Brian, I think I want to have you repeat this for the sake of clarity. This is all on the table when you walk in the door. It's either going to be printed in, you know, a hymnal, or it's going to, and scripted out to the last detail. It's going to be printed in a bulletin, or it's going to have some kind of an outline for the most part. This is all up front. There's really no pretense of spontaneity in this at all, is there?
No, that's it. This is planned because look at, I mean, you know, this assumption of spontaneity, that our spirituality and our spontaneity are bound up to each other, this evangelical assumption is really, I mean, it's really just kind of dumb. I don't even know where it comes from. It's not, there's nothing biblical, nothing rational about it. But the idea is, if we're just making stuff up, then the Holy Spirit must be working. That's like saying the stupider we are, the smarter we are. I mean, it's just kind of a foolish way to be. The Lutheran liturgy makes no pretense of that kind of spontaneity. We know that Jesus intends to come and give us his gifts because he's promised it. And rather than spontaneity, the liturgy is delivering to us a certainty. We know that the word is going to be preached.
We know that the body and blood of Jesus is going to be distributed. We know that the absolution is going to be spoken. This is nothing spontaneous, because it's all about the certainty of the Lord's promises, which give us life and hope and peace.
Pastor Brian Wolf Miller is our guest. It's part four of our weekly series, Liturgical Boot Camp for Evangelicals. Today, we're talking about the order of service. We'll get a little more detail on the other side of the break, but you might note that there's nothing in that basic order that is surprising, that is unusual. It's all pretty basic Christian stuff. Prayer, hearing of Scripture, praying of Psalms, the preaching, and the Lord's Supper. We'll be right back. Christians, young and old, are increasingly pressured to change their beliefs. That's why St. Jude said we need to contend for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. At the San Antonio Worldview Conference, Confessional Lutherans Jonathan Fisk, Jay Weber, Ryan McPherson, and Craig Parton will unmask the false, direct us to Christ and His Word, and defend the faith. The San Antonio Worldview Conference, Saturday, February the 11th, San Antonio, Texas. Visit worldviewsa.org. worldusa.org.
Recently graduated from high school or college and looking for a chance to serve a community in need while sharing the good news of Jesus Christ? Lutheran Young Adult Corps may be for you. Lutheran Young Adult Corps provides opportunities for long-term, full-time service for 10 weeks through the summer or 10 months over the school year in places like St. Louis, Philadelphia, and Boston. Find out more about Lutheran Young Adult Corps by finding us online at lcms.org/YACORPS or on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Lutheran YA Corps.
Historic, authentic Christian radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
When pastors talk about us, they call us ad crucem. When laity mention us, they speak of ad crucem. When non-Lutherans address us, they say ADC Rucam. But no matter how you say it, ad crucem is the place to go for greeting cards, artwork, jewelry, ornaments, housewares, church certificates, church banners, and all your gift buying needs. Visit adcrucem.com, confessing the faith through art and word. ADCRUCEM.com.
Join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club in October, and we'll send you a limited edition Here I Stand t-shirt. Find out more about our monthly or annual giving program at issuesetc.org. Just click the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses, or call Craig 618-223-8385. Join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by Reformation Day, and we'll send you a limited edition long sleeve shirt along with your other membership benefits. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin on this Monday, October the 31st, part four of our weekly series, Liturgical Boot Camp for Evangelicals. Today, the order of service. Pastor Brian Wolf Miller is our guest. Walk through this. I know that you're capable of this. We've got about 10 minutes. Walk through the order of service as we have it, beginning with what might sound strange to the evangelical walking into the liturgical service, and that is invoking the triune name of God right away. It doesn't start with any kind of prayer. We just want to praise you. We've gathered here. Doesn't even start really with the mood music. It starts with the name of God. Why?
Yeah, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The words that the Lord Jesus used to mark us as his own in baptism, he now uses to mark this time and this place and these words as his own. So we have this great confidence that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So we begin with the name of the Lord. Everything that happens now is a holy thing. It's set apart from the world, marked so by the Lord's name. I had a pastor who used to say, welcome, and when he would greet people at church, you know, afterwards or whatever, he'd say, welcome to the Lord's name. And I think that's really quite wonderful, because the Lord's name is, in fact, what establishes this place as the place where we're gathered, so that everything we do in word and in deed, we do in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, especially this time that's set apart for the worship and hearing of his word and reception of his mercy.
There is usually a general confession of sins and an absolution. Why does that get pushed up front?
Yeah, this is the newest part of the liturgy. It was probably added a couple hundred years ago, where we together, corporately, confess our sins and hear the absolution. It's part of our daily Christian life to confess our sins and hear the absolution. The pastor's chief thing is to give us the absolution. That's what we've called these guys to do. So, part of the service, we remember that we're approaching the holy things, and we don't want to approach the Lord's word, his holy word, and his holy supper in our sin. So we come and confess and receive the Lord's mercy. I think it's a really great point to just contrast liturgical worship with most American evangelical worship. They will end the service with a time of repentance. We begin the service with a time of repentance. And the response of repentance that they give is that you are offering your life to Jesus. Whereas when we begin the service with repentance, we receive the life and forgiveness that Jesus offers to us. So the absolution is declared, I forgive you all your sins, and we receive that and rejoice in it. As Jesus said, whoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven.
Then comes that psalm you spoke about, and usually it is either set to some very simple music and chanted responsively, or it's spoken responsively.
Yeah, I think this is so beautiful. The introit is what it's called, which is the entrance psalm. So we enter into the Lord's presence and to his word by singing his word. So we go to the psalms, to the hymns of the Bible itself, and we use those to sing the Lord's praise. And from the most ancient of times, I mean, even back into the tabernacle in the Old Testament, before there was even a temple, the Lord's people would chant the psalms back and forth. The priest would chant a verse and the people would respond. And we do that, either in reading or in chanting. So we're keeping this tradition alive that's been there for the past 3,500 years at least, which is really quite phenomenal. That when we do that, we're praying and hearing the Lord's word, so that it's not just what's on our mind, but we're being taught by the Holy Spirit to ask the Lord for the things that we, in fact, need most of all.
Then we have a small prayer that is, as you just said, it kind of naturally goes with that psalm, a prayer that responds to that psalm, the collect. Then comes scripture, the public reading of Scripture. And sometimes, Brian, I think what really strikes evangelicals is how much Scripture gets read. Always three lessons, yeah. And sometimes it's not just a verse or two.
Yeah. No, you get big chunks of the Scripture. There are oftentimes these readings are related to each other. A lot of the readings we have are from the ancient church handed down to us, so there's a lot of wisdom there. Sometimes we have newer arrangements, but we hear from the prophets. We hear from the apostles, that is the epistles, and we hear from Jesus himself. So we hear a gospel lesson. Like Paul said, that's how the church is built, on the prophets and apostles, with Jesus Christ as the chief cornerstone. So we make sure that we hear the voice of the prophets preach to us, we hear the apostles instruct us, and we hear Jesus give us his promises.
Then will usually come a recitation of one of the three ecumenical creeds. What are we talking about there?
Yeah, it's something that the creeds are kind of the Holy Scriptures bound up in their simplified form, addressing the heresies and false teachings that have arisen through history. But it's really quite something that the Scriptures are read and we listen to them, but then we immediately confess what the Scriptures teach. God the Father in creation, God the Son in redemption, God the Holy Spirit in our sanctification. So we always are confessing the creed. This is a slightly later custom. I suppose it's probably 1,200 or 1,300 years old to confess the creeds in the service. Maybe it's a little older than that, but it's a really helpful practice because, like Paul says, we take up the shield of the faith to guard us from the fiery darts of the devil. So every time we confess the faith, once for all delivered to the saints, when we confess the creeds, we're arming ourselves with this defensive armor as the devil tries to attack the truth of the Lord's word.
Preaching comes next. What would the evangelical notice most about the difference of liturgical preaching?
The evangelical sermon is much more like a Bible study. It's more, much more casual, much more conversational. Generally, when a Lutheran stands up to preach, it's a little more oratorical. I don't think that's the word I'm looking for, but it's a bit more of a it might sound more like a speech, something being delivered. And I think that's helpful to think of, because the pastor is up there to deliver the Lord's word and the Lord's kindness. The pastor should be teaching you about the scriptures and telling you something new, but that's not the chief reason he's up there. He should be telling you what it is to love God and your neighbor, but that's not all. That's also not the chief reason he's standing in the pulpit. The chief reason he stands in the pulpit is to preach Christ, to preach his blood, to deliver the blood to the listener, to comfort and cleanse the conscience through the absolution and the gifts of God's mercy in the gospel. And so that is a very different thing, that we understand that the Lord's word does something. So the preaching is not simply imparting information, which is beneficial if we act on it. The preaching is delivering God's kindness and mercy straight to the sinner.
Then, as you said, comes the Lord's Supper, and we don't have time to go into all the details of how the Lord's Supper is celebrated, but it's given, essentially, at least time-wise, about half of the service. Why that kind of priority?
Well, Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. And that blood that he puts on the in the cup is the blood of the New Testament. So if we are the church of the New Testament, we're rejoicing in this gift of the New Testament. It's really, in fact, the liturgy is mostly the kind of the table manners surrounding this special and holy meal, where Jesus says, hey, so much do I want you to know that I forgive you your sins, that I'm giving you the pledge of my very own body to eat and my blood to drink, so that all doubt will be cast away. And you will have the absolute certainty that if he's willing to give us these things bound up to the promise, that in fact he means what he says, that our sins are forgiven. So we always give great, because we give priority to the Lord's word, we give priority to the supper, because it's in the Lord's word that he himself gives us the supper, commands us to eat it and to drink it, his body and his blood, and promises these great promises that in it our sins are forgiven.
Then finally, we end with, again, another form of the Lord's name with only about 30 seconds here. What form does it take?
Yeah, we go all the way back to Numbers and the Lord's instruction to Aaron. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. It's a little bit complicated language, but it basically means this. Jesus is smiling at you. I mean, can you imagine? So we come, our worst fear is that we'll see the face of Jesus, and on that face will be a scowl. But we come to the service, and now at the end, we're marked with the sign of the cross and reminded that when Jesus looks at us, he smiles. Which means, Todd, when we close our eyes to sleep the sleep of death and waken him up and wake up to see the face of Jesus, that on that face will be his smile and his joy and his radiant love for us. That's the result of the liturgy. It's the result of the gospel. It's just beautiful.
Pastor Brian Wolf-Miller is pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado. He's co-host of a weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio. He's author of the book, Has American Christianity Failed? You can find that book at our website under the Listen On Demand page, issuesetc.org. Brian, thank you very much for your time.
You got it.
On the other side of the break, we're going to talk about the Supreme Court late last week agreeing to hear a transgender bathroom school case. Gary McCaleb will join us from Alliance Defending Freedom.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th century. The 11th century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
If you're like me, you remember when education was about the basic skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic, and about reading great literature and history that gave our kids models of what it is to be a good person. Memoria Press's Classical Christian Curriculum is bringing this kind of education back. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October is a timely, downloadable resource designed for Bible classes. It's titled Called to Vote, A Christian's Approach to Elections. Called to Vote is written by Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Ken Sherb. You can find out more and download Called to Vote on every page of our website, issuesetc.org. Called to Vote, A Christian's Approach to Elections, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October, issuesetc.org.
Are you tired of working nights, weekends, and odd hours trying to cover your bases at home just to make ends meet? At the Cleaning Authority, we call that the multi-job shuffle, and we want to end that for you right now. We'll train you in our proven, efficient cleaning methods, and you'll be partnered to work in pre-qualified homes. Call 314-416-8117 and walk away from the multi-job shuffle with a future in our St. Louis office, 314-416-8117.